No disease with which the human family has been afflicted has been more dreadful than that which is often mentioned in the Bible as leprosy. No disease with which the human family has been afflicted has been more dreadful than that which has been often described in the Bible as leprosy. Those are the words of one commentator as he comes to the latter part of Mark chapter 1. We have to agree with him. Only on two occasions, two specific occasions in our scriptures, do we read of the Savior cleansing a leper. And this specific occasion in front of us tonight in Mark chapter 1 is also recorded in Matthew's Gospel. And it's recorded as well in Luke's Gospel. Indeed, in Matthew's Gospel, it is the first healing miracle our Savior performed. And therefore, it is the first healing miracle of the Gospels and the New Testament as a whole. But all of that said, we are still relatively unsure when exactly this miracle happened. We are still relatively unsure where it happened. Some commentators feel that it may even have happened before the 12 disciples were chosen and called. Before this evening, we take a moment to look closely at what happened in this miracle. Perhaps there are a few very obvious lessons that could be highlighted from the outset. Lessons that could be highlighted almost as an introduction. Surely, for example, there is a word of encouragement here for those who give their lives to caring for the sick. There is a word of encouragement for those of us who are medics, who make it their life's business to do what they can to ease the suffering of others. Those who make it their business to seek to preserve life. There's a word here for you. I am sure those involved in that kind of work, doctors, paramedics, nurses, the list is endless. I'm sure those involved in that kind of work grow discouraged like all the rest of us. It seems like their job is a thankless task. And I would say this evening, if you are in that position, then look at the Savior. Look at the Savior as he healed people. And please be encouraged. As well as that, there's also a lesson and a challenge for each and every one of us. A lesson and a challenge for all of us to be compassionate, to help other people. You see, we all, specifically Christians, have that responsibility to help others. It is a duty each one of us have. Proverbs 19 and the verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that's what he had given him, will he pay him again. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. You see, we have that responsibility, specifically as Christians, to look after those who are suffering in this world. To care for other people. And yes, it involves self-sacrifice. It's not always easy. It can be a challenge. You may have to sacrifice a lot. But remember, as this verse in Proverbs tells us, that our God is no man's debtor. He remembers all that you do. Perhaps initially we also see in the Savior's treatment of this leper how the Lord Jesus Christ valued everyone. He valued everyone, regardless of the problems in their life. Regardless of the disabilities they may have suffered with, regardless of where they came from geographically, regardless even if they were lepers. He valued everyone. He did not hold anyone in low esteem. He came into this earth to help. He came into this earth to heal. But above all, he came into this earth to save. And you know, our Savior answers those people who would seek to judge individuals due to the sickness that they have. John's Gospel in the chapter 9, we read in the opening verses, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned nor his parents, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You see, we ought to be very careful about passing judgment on people who are sick and who have illnesses. We have no right to do that. In John 9, this man's blindness was actually going to be used to the glory of God. What a privilege. What an honour. Also in the chapter before us, Mark chapter 1, we see that the disciples took the Saviour into Peter's home. They took him to his house. They showed the Saviour the sickness of Peter's mother-in-law. As a result, he healed that woman, and she immediately started serving. And Christian, is there not a lesson there for each one of us that we must take Jesus Christ everywhere we go? That we must let people see Jesus Christ in us, whether that be at work or even in our own homes, so that people can hear about Jesus Christ through the way we live our lives. And then we must wait for him to work. Tonight, though, I want us to think primarily of the spiritual leper. The spiritual leper, we will notice his plight. We will notice his only hope. But just keep in mind as we go through tonight the plight of the spiritual leper. One commentator has said, anyone who has never trusted the Saviour is spiritually in worse shape than this man was physically. Think about that. Anyone who has never trusted the Saviour, the unsaved, is in spiritually worse shape than this man was physically. And so I want to leave with you tonight just three very simple and straightforward observations. And first thing we want to notice together is the deadly disease. The deadly disease. It may surprise you that over 200,000 cases of leprosy were diagnosed in the year 2005. That is a truly remarkable figure. More remarkable still when we learn that over half of them were diagnosed in the same country. What we know today as leprosy is largely treatable. But having examined the rules and restrictions placed on lepers in Leviticus, medical experts reckon that the term leprosy, used in Scripture, covered a wide variety of skin diseases, including what we know as leprosy today. What is clear is that in Bible times, leprosy was a very, very serious condition. It was a sickness and illness that was relatively common, and it was truly terrible for an individual to be declared unclean. Little would have been feared as much as to hear that condemnation that you are unclean. And as we read the Scriptures, as we look at commentaries, as we look at historical accounts, we start to build up a picture of how terrible leprosy really was. It was horrific. We read from the outset of this meeting in Numbers chapter 12. And in Numbers 12, we have Aaron and Miriam in their sedition against Moses. And as a result of their sedition, Miriam was struck by God in judgment with leprosy. In Numbers 12, the verse 12, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. What a terrible picture. And that was how leprosy was. It was like death on your flesh. You were half consumed. Of course, Miriam was struck in judgment, so she was struck instantly. But that was not the norm. When an individual began to suffer from leprosy, it would just appear as a small spot on the surface of the skin. It may even have been a small puncture wound on the surface of the skin. It was nothing significant, nothing that you or I would grow troubled over. Frequently, this spot would appear on the face. This spot could be red in colour, it could be white, or it could be black. But very slowly, that spot would begin to spread. And that mark on the body would begin to cover more and more flesh. Leprosy would attack the blood and the bones as well as the flesh. There are accounts of extremities such as fingers and toes falling off as a result. Indeed, whole limbs could fall off. When we listen to the modern medics, they speak of the one who suffers from leprosy and they lose all sensation in the affected part. That means they are now unaware of injuries. So they can burn themselves, they can cut themselves, and they are unaware, they do not treat these injuries, and infections and ulcers are the result. You read that features of the face could even fall off, people grow misshapen. Leprosy was something that brought about with it just sheer misery. And the whole body was affected. And in Bible times, nothing could be done. Nothing could be done. And there was no one that could help. No human power could arrest for a moment the silent and steady march of this foe. You see, in effect, when you were suffering from leprosy, you were dying from the outside in. Dying from the outside in. Bible times, the disease of leprosy was contagious. It was hereditary. Therefore, Jewish law rendered the sufferer, as we have said, unclean. There must be complete separation between one suffering from this awful illness and everyone else. Such was the danger. That's why in Leviticus, in the chapter 13, we see those tests set down for those who may have had leprosy. We see the rules that are there. We see that one who reckons he may have leprosy, who has noticed the mark on his skin, then he must go to the priest. And the priest will examine that mark on his skin. The priest will make his decision. He can place the individual in quarantine for 7 days and then review the case. And again, he checks the mark on the skin. Is there an indentation? Is the mark growing larger? And then the priest would have to declare whether that individual was clean or unclean. And if he was unclean, if he was suffering from leprosy, then he would have to expel that individual from everyone else, cast him away. How grim it must have been to be in that position, and then to learn that you must be separated from everyone you love, the people who can comfort you. You can't see them any longer. Why? Because if anyone were to touch the leper, they would become unclean. They could become infected. That's why in Luke 17, when we see the Savior healing the 10 lepers, you'll notice that the 10 lepers are at a great distance. They had to be apart from everyone else. They had to warn people even of their presence that they were coming in that way to allow everyone else to get out of the road. They weren't allowed to defile anyone else. You see, the leper was cut off from the congregation of Israel and from the ordinances of religion. It was a truly terrible situation. In Leviticus chapter 13, that situation is summed up. Leviticus 13, in the verse 45, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." The deadly corruption of the body, the decay, the loneliness, the helplessness the leper had to suffer. It was a deadly disease. But Mr. Ryle writes, "There is a foul soul disease, which is ingrained into our very nature, and cleaves to our bones and marrow with deadly force." There is a foul soul disease, which is ingrained into our very nature, and cleaves to our bones and marrows with deadly force. A disease that has the same destructive power as leprosy. A disease that, left uncured, will ultimately kill. And that disease is the disease of our sin. The Bible says, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You see, the result of the disease of sin is death. Perhaps this evening we have painted this picture of the leper. We have seen that his flesh is marred. We have seen what all leprosy can do, how it can disfigure an individual. It is an awful state to be in. But you do not feel that your sin has affected you in such a way. Yes, you have sin like everyone else, but your sins are just small and insignificant. Maybe just a little blemish on the surface of the skin. Well, I would say, what about that little spot that appears when one is diagnosed with leprosy? The small marks mean that the disease is there. Rest assured, the small mark means destruction is coming. That spot is hiding a massive problem. And if you're honest with yourself, it never really is just one little blemish, is it? There's much more sin in our lives than we even really want to admit. And that small spot, that blemish, is only a sign of what's happening underneath. The wicked and sinful heart. And even if there were only a small amount of sin in your life, a holy and just God must still punish it. If our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight, what must our sin be like in his sight? Sin is a far worse disease than leprosy, because we all have it. Every one of us. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, the disease of sin is hereditary. We sinned in Adam, and we sin each and every day. The disease of sin infects every part of our being. It affects our nature, our heart, our will, our conscience. It affects our affections. And there is no earthly physician. No earthly man can help with the disease of sin. Just like that leper, we are separated. Yes, we are separated from the family of God, but more specifically, we are separated from God himself. We are separated from all eternity. We cannot be in his presence. Our sin renders us unclean. The deadly disease. Sinful, separated, and hopeless. Secondly, we notice this evening the divine healer. The divine healer. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Mark chapter 1 and the verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion. And Jesus moved with compassion. Literally mean having been moved in his inner being. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was a compassionate Savior. He is a compassionate Savior. We've already said he had time for the sick. He had time for the unclean. He had time for sinners. He's not looking down on those with problems. He's not trying to avoid others, as we all do. Starting at the verse 29 of Mark chapter 1, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then from the verse 32 downward, we see that he heals the multitudes. How tiring that must have been for our Savior in his humanity. Because we must remember that our Savior was fully God and fully man. How tiring it must have been for him and his humanity, and yet the love and care and compassion was still there. It says in verse 33 that all the city was gathered together at the door. He continued to give attention. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And that high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's our Savior. Indeed, among the multitudes in Mark chapter 1, we see that those possessed with demons were healed. He had love and mercy towards these people. In Mark chapter 2, we see that he takes time to eat with the publicans. He takes time to eat with the sinners, those who were by and large disowned by Jewish society. Why did he do this? Because he came for these people, the sinners, the unclean. Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Therefore, in verse 41 of Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1, we see the Savior say, I will, be thou clean. He reached out and touched that leper and healed him. That wretched, defiled, contagious, unclean man And the Lord Jesus Christ reached out and touched him. One commentator says that it was probably the first loving touch that man had experienced in many, many years. You may say tonight, surely he could have been healed without the Savior having to touch him. But the Lord Jesus Christ was identifying with that leper. Jesus Christ was prepared to become what that leper was by nature. He was prepared to become a man under judgment of the law so that he could share the life and freedom he brings with that leper. And that's what he does for sinners today. Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth and lived a spotless and a holy and a pure life. He went to the cross of Calvary. And he died for sinners. He rose again and he lives forever. But he willingly took the wrath of God for us upon himself. He stood in our stead. He took our sins at Calvary. All of this so that we could have eternal life. And you'll notice in verse 41, when the Savior touched that man and spoke to him, immediately he was healed. Verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Immediately. You see, when we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. We are immediately healed. We'll not be perfect in this life. We'll still sin, but we are justified. We are forgiven. We are cleansed in God's sight. And there is no more disease of sin to separate us from God. Romans 5:1 summarizes it all. I'm sure you all know that verse. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Cleansed, ready for eternity. So we've had the deadly disease, the divine healer. And as we finish this evening, we want to notice the bold patient. The bold patient. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We've already noticed this evening that the lepers generally had to stay a great way off from everyone else. They were unclean, they were contagious. But we see boldness in the leper in Mark chapter 1. You see, this leper must have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have heard of his work, of his ministry, and of his miracles. He had heard of the compassion of Jesus Christ and his sympathy. And he realized that Jesus Christ was the only one who could actually help him. Jesus Christ was his only hope. And so the leper comes right unto the Savior. And he comes right unto him in humility. The verse says, kneeling down. In Luke's account, it says that the leper falls on his face. What humility. The leper's sense of his own helplessness, recognizing that he was unworthy, and yet recognizing the Savior's power and authority. That leper was so aware of Christ's ability to heal him. There was no room for doubt. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And how does one suffering from the disease of sin must approach in this very way? How the sinner must come. How tonight, if you are unsaved, you must come to the Savior. You must come recognizing your sin, recognizing your guilt, your helplessness, and your hopelessness. One commentator writes, to know our disease is one step towards a cure. It is the misery and ruin of many souls that they never yet saw their sins and their need. Friends, what a privilege to have the Bible, to have been taught from a very young age that you are a sinner in the eyes of a holy God. It seems like a strange thing to say, maybe, but it is a privilege to have been taught from youth that you are a sinner in the eyes of God. So the sinner must come like the leper, must come humbly. They must recognize Christ's authority, his ability to save, his power. He must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, his perfection, his sacrificial death for sinners, and the empty tomb, realizing that Jesus Christ lives. They must place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope. They must appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ quite simply as the leper did, simply asking him for cleansing, simply asking him for salvation. You know what's true? That many, like the leper, are unsure of the Savior's willingness to cleanse them. But that need not be the case. There need not be any doubt. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 6:39, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." There's no room for doubt. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will receive you. He will cleanse you, just like he cleansed this leper. I wonder, will you turn to him tonight? We'll close with a hymn 104.